What's up, everybody? Roger and James here, from the Discini Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be doing kind of like, it's kind of becoming like our little monthly thing of where we talk about what comic books we've been reading, and just kind of talking a little bit about comic books and stuff. So first off, James, what have you been reading lately?
Actually, quite a bit. Been doing a lot of catch up lately, but you know, Marvel especially has been launching a lot of titles in the last couple of weeks, so there have been plenty to check out. Most notably, Amazing Spider-Man started out with a new number one issue and a brand new writer. We'll talk about that one, I'm sure. Also, X-23, number one, that was the relaunch of all new Wolverine with Laura Kinney, which was a great title. The new writer on it, but she seems to understand what the previous writer was doing, so highly recommend that one. Darth Vader was a one-off with Grand Moff Tarkin.
That was awesome. I love that one.
It was a weird issue, but yeah, I was very happy with that one. And then I've been looking at some stuff from other publishers as well. I have Disney's Incredibles 2. I have not read it yet, though, but I know that you posted a review on that, and you seem pretty positive on it.
Yeah, it was good, actually. The artwork was very, it was a bit odd, because the artwork between all three stories in the book was a bit different, but the artwork was in two of them was very good. Just nice to see them expand on this thing. To be honest, The Incredibles kind of makes sense as a running issue, because you can just keep bringing in new villains and having a traditional Saturday morning fight with a different villain week in, week out, and the heroes win. And that's kind of going to be, and that's exactly what a kid wants. You know, a traditional comic book. The Incredibles actually, it should be set up that actually could be. I did find it a bit odd they called it the midlife crisis. It's like, it doesn't really appeal to a kid, does it? It was a bit like, well, I don't really sure if too many 8-year-olds are looking at all these front covers goes, Spider-Man's doing this and the Captain America's doing that. Oh, Mr. Incredible's having a midlife crisis. That sounds fun.
It sounds hilarious to me, honestly, but yeah,
I can relate to what it was, but it was just like, that really isn't going to appeal to an 8-year-old as the title of the comic book.
No, that they probably could have rethought that one a little bit.
Yeah, personally, I've been getting back in the swing of it the last couple of weeks. Because of my holiday in June, I lost like 2-3 weeks of reading, and then the concept of trying to catch up became just like, I can't do it. I tried to pick it up. I did pick up a few of my major issues that I was reading, and then slowly been coming in. Unfortunately for me, July and August are my busiest times of the year at work. I'm doing more hours. I've got no time at work to do anything because it's busy. So everything kind of slows down. But I've been trying to read, you know, 4 or 5 a week. At least, you know, I have been keeping on top of the main issues and stuff. I did actually read the X-23. I did actually read that issue last night. I did like the fact that they brought the sisters in, those like the cloned sisters.
You're talking about Emma Frost, the Stepford Cuckoos?
Yeah, weren't they in The Gifted? Wasn't that character?
Yes, they were. They were, in fact, in The Gifted. I'd forgotten that, actually.
Yeah, she was in. See, there again, that's where I've seen them in another TV show, and then I read them in a comic book. Oh, that's. I know them now. I was very. That issue kind of got me, because I've been reading the X-23 one on and off for the past few, probably the bit of this year, and each one's been actually quite a good one. You had the one where they were killing things, and that whole relationship seems to be quite fun.
You're gonna have to be more specific.
Yeah, well, they were killing little badgers or gophers.
Are you talking about the issue where Gabby and Deadpool crossed over?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah,
yeah, that was a great great issue. One of my favorites.
It's just the kind of thing I have been picking that one up. I find X-Men a little bit like there's too many of them, so I kind of jump in and out a little bit. This whole like reboot of going back to number ones is
annoying.
On one hand, it's good. On one hand, I like when they put up the big one on the image, because it usually indicates to me to try it. That's that kind of, you know, when I get into episode 476 of something, I'm like, well, I don't know anything. Well, when it says number one, it's a good jumping in point. I don't necessarily agree with like Amazing Spider-Man number one. Did we really need that? It's not 798 or whatever it is.
I think
it's got a history. They still got the legacy numbering on there.
Right. And I think in that case, they could actually put a decent argument for it, because Amazing Spider-Man number one this Amazing Spider-Man number one was a vast departure from the previous title. Plus, you know, writer Dan Slott had been writing Spider-Man for, Christ, at least 15 years at this point. So it was very much changing of the guards, very much a new era. So I could think they could put a good argument for that. That having said that, like, I think as much as I loved the title, X-23, maybe not so much, because there's nothing here that really you couldn't have just tacked on to the end of All New Wolverine. Now, obviously, they want to rename that title because Wolverine himself is coming back in the near future. So, you know, All New Wolverine and Wolverine wouldn't have made much sense. But still, you know, it's one of those, yeah, you could have, maybe not, but,
yeah. Yeah, it's a bit of a novel. I mean, I've read quite a few of the, like, four, that was a good reboot. I think because I've been really enjoying that series for a while. That was the one I was never expecting to like, but got into. And so I've been kind of, never was really a big Thor fan, but now I've kind of really liking the Norse mythology and this whole, become quite a bit of a Thor. Whereas Captain America number one, I won't be carrying on with that one. That bit that got me.
I'm going to give it one or two more issues, but I can definitely agree with that. Captain America number one, which came out a couple of weeks ago, was it was odd because it was picking up on story plot points that were more than a year old.
Yeah.
You know, they had done the whole story with Captain America being a Hydra agent, taking over America, etc. And then they just kind of being a clone, you know, time travel nonsense. And then they went off and they did the Mark Waid stories where he gets sent forward in time again and tries to remake America in that one. And then, but it was like a year or more since the Evil Cap story came out. Yeah. And now we're finally getting around to it. And like, I think we've already moved on from this. We don't really need to cover this point anymore.
I've read a few Captain America books in the last few months. Because they had the big 700 issue. Was it 700 issue or something like that? Where he was jumping around in time and was fighting in the future and then went back in time. And I'm like, going, I have no idea what's going on. Because it'd been printed. Made it look like it was a good jumping in point. Completely lost. Number one.
It was the end of a story arc. A 6 or 7 issue story arc. It was not a jumping on point.
But it made it look like it from the cover and all the rest of it. Though. And then Captain America 1, I read that and it's like, again, I'm reading it going, I don't know what's going on here. Sharon's old, and I know it could be like, well, everyone, you know, keeps, but you can't do a number one and do that. It doesn't, or not do it to such an extent. Whereas, like with Spider-Man number one that I read over the weekend, it did cover on some of the points, but it explained it in the point that it felt like it was a good, they kind of wrote it off because that was essentially a reboot episode.
Was. They might have just had a big red button that says reboot.
Yeah. Peter Parker's boring a student again. That had that thing of it. To me, I was reading it. It's like talking about like Dr. Octopus and, you know, him taking over. But it felt like that had all been pushed to the side and they sort of covered it. But Captain America, number one, didn't. It didn't tell that. It assumed you knew what was going on rather than you didn't. And I think that's the problem with number ones.
Yeah, because there used to be a philosophy in comics, and I'm going way back. We're talking like 80s, early 90s. There was a philosophy in comics that every issue is somebody's first. Yeah. That is, you know, someone will go to the stand and they'll pick up X-Men number 288, and that will be the first comic book they ever read. So every comic has to be written with at least a little bit of an introduction to what the heck is going on. And that's a very, if you go back and read the books from the 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, the first couple of pages will always be somebody explaining the plot.
Yeah.
You know, what has happened. And sometimes it's very organic. Most of the time it's literally somebody going, and that's when Thanos came along and punched people. And it's like, dude, I was there. I was standing right next to you.
I always feel Star Wars is the best way of doing it because they can just do the crawl. And it works. It always works perfectly. The Star Wars crawl at the beginning of each comic book sets it. and they've got that like written in that it works, and they don't have to repeat anything, so that definitely works better.
Yeah, and I don't know, speaking of Star Wars, when we talk Darth Vader number 18, which was a one-off issue, came out this past week, it was starring Grand Moff Tarkin hunting Darth Vader. Yeah, basically the Predator version of Darth Vader. And it was a really good issue. I wasn't too keen on the art. The art wasn't to my taste, but the story was great because you got nothing but respect for Vader. Yeah. Just like he is a force of nature. But at the same time, you have to respect that Tarkin was actually able to almost beat him in a pretty fair fight. So
yeah, I was really impressed with it because Tarkin is normally the guy who's just standing there, you know, looking death warmed up, doing nothing. And this was like showing him off much more of being a tactician, being a proper... I was really impressed with it. I think the review went up as well. I mean, I think I gave it like a 9 out of 10. It was easy the highest rated comic I've given for a while. Because when I finish reading the comic, I have to have... It's like, to get a high score for me, it has to be that kind of feeling. Where like, I enjoyed this a lot. It told a story. It had good artwork. And I was impressed. And it has to have that little knock. And this one did. This one had that kind of, I was impressed. I really enjoyed reading it and went back and flicked through and looked at some bits and pieces a bit more. Don't get that very often. And the whole Darth Vader series as a whole actually is one of my favorite monthly ones. I always enjoy getting, I think the Darth Vader one is the best Star Wars comic around at the moment for me.
The Darth Vader comic is probably the best one. I have had some moments with the Poe Dameron comic where I've definitely been, this is a really good comic. Although that first story arc with like the Mystic Dragon Egg or whatever the heck that was kind of, I think was a bit of a misstep, just a little. But yeah, I mean, the main Star Wars title just hit 50 a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. And that was a crazy issue.
But That was a good one.
It was a good issue, and it tied a lot of plot points together that have been building up for the past 20 or so issues. But I do agree. I think the Darth Vader is the one that is consistently the best because we're really getting to see Vader go from Anakin and kind of not entirely sure of his dark side powers yet. Because he lived in the light side for the majority of the movies and stuff, and now he's in the dark side. So he's learning how to be a dark side Sith acolyte or Lord of the Sith, whatever. But now 18 issues in, we're really getting to he kind of knows what he's doing now. And
yeah,
he's
embraced it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in the earlier issues. There was a bit of conflict. Now there isn't. Now it is just kill them. You know, I think it was at 17 or 16. And he was like, kill them. Didn't even flinch. No second thoughts or anything. So that is very good. Star Wars, the Marvel to do, I think, because I don't bother with the Captain, the Dr. Aphra.
Dr. Aphra. I think I really do like the Dr. Aphra series. However, it is so steeped in its own continuity, which started in the original Darth Vader series, the one written by Kieran Gillen, that trying to get people into it, like cold turkey right from the beginning, is not easy. And again, going back to that idea of every comic is somebody's first, Dr. Aphra is not written with new readers in mind. And if you haven't read, at the very least since the beginning of Dr. Aphra, but ideally since the original Darth Vader run, it's so easy to get lost in that book.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Star Wars one, I mean, I've pretty much read, I would say, the majority of them since number one. It's been actually one of those kind of consistent, like, books that I've always kept, because it was that thing of just being a good Star Wars one and being done by Marvel and being done properly. That's been like one of my key, there's that kind of thing. I feel like for me, it's like Spider-Man number one is actually, for me, it's that thing I want to get into reading Spider-Man constantly, but the last 2 years has been very difficult to kind of find a jumping in point, because it always felt so big. And like now I feel like, right, okay, Amazing Spider-Man every month, that's me in now. I can jump in at this point. So that's been kind of quite cool.
Let's talk about Amazing Spider-Man number one. Because it is an... I'll be upfront. I did not like the issue at all. But There's a couple of reasons for that. And the main one being, not that it is a reset button, like we talked about, because it's straight up rebooting it. It's that it's very inelegant in the way it's done. It's just like, Peter Parker, we need you back in school, so we're going to get you up on plagiarism charges. Yeah. And it's just like, you can't even hide how you're rebooting everything. But at the same time, I'm kind of respect Nick Spencer in this. He's the writer of the book. Just going,
yeah,
you know what? I need this book to be in this position for me to write the stories that I want. There's no good way to get into this position, so I'm just going to do all of it right up front. Yeah. It's going to be absolutely ridiculous. You're going to have plagiarism. He's going to get fired. He's going to, you know.
Yeah.
Aunt May is going to be pissed at him.
For me, the one thing that got me with that was I could understand what they were doing, and I could see the thing of like Aunt May being disappointed. It was the front page of the New York paper was like, yeah, I don't think this would even have made my local newspaper page 12, let alone the front. It's like, you know, local journalist didn't fill his seat. It's like, no one really, it's like, I understood like he had to lose his job, but to be publicly embarrassed, like the Avengers, I mean, at one point he pretty much owned the Avengers. So like, yeah, that made, I mean, they could have done it, slightly toned it down a little bit. Of like, okay, he's embarrassed and he's going to go back and get it. It's like, I'm not being funny, but it's like, if you said to me now, oh, your college degree that you did 20 years ago is no longer, you know, I'd be like, well, I've moved on with my life. I don't need to go back and redo it. That's been, no one would be interested.
I think they're going for Amazing Spider-Man with the idea that Spidey did, or Peter Parker did own, you know, Parker Industries. It was supposed to be like a Tony Stark level, yeah, of like tech giant. We're talking Elon Musk, yeah, Bill Gates kind of stuff. So yeah, if we then had an announcement that Bill Gates was going to have his doctorate or whatever removed because a plagiarism charge popped up, yeah, that would make the news. And I think that's what they're going for with, yeah, Parker. But again, it's one of those things where you're just like, seriously, it's just, but I'll give him that. Nick Spencer really just wanted to get to, yeah, where he needed to be to tell the stories that he wanted.
It's funny though, because it's like with Spider-Man Homecoming and when it's like, well, you know, my wife was saying, she goes, oh, I don't like this Spider-Man because he's a kid. And I'm turning around going, Spider-Man is supposed to be a kid. He's, when they might try to make him grow up, that's when he got boring. He was fun when he's a kid. And I think this book is trying to kind of get him back to being that kind of, you know, this whole thing of him having teenage angst with Mary Jane. You know, once he became an adult and all the rest of it, he kind of loses what he is, isn't it?
I mean, yeah and no. In theory, yes. But also, that's really kind of the responsibility of the writers at, yeah, the same time. You know, there is no such thing as a character that is inherently uninteresting or inherently interesting. It's what the situations you put them into are. And if the writers can't figure out how to make Peter Parker married, adult life with a mortgage and so interesting, that's not necessarily his fault,
yeah,
so much as the writers not knowing what to do
with
him.
I think it's just a thing to me, like Spider-Man is a teenager. He's supposed to be the kid that doesn't, not so much a wannabe, but he's outmaneuvered because of his age and his youth and kids can associate with him. And I think this like issue number one, kind of, he's still older, but they're kind of trying to get him back to that a little bit.
Yeah, they're definitely trying to get him back. They're trying to get him to like that late 80s, right before he got married to Mary Jane,
yeah,
feel. You know, he's in college, he's got no job, he's living paycheck to paycheck when he does have a job.
Yeah.
Aunt May, he's got to hide what he is from Aunt May.
Yeah.
Apparently his roommate's a supervillain.
Yeah.
you sure? Whatever. Not even a good one. So, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. My problem with it isn't that it's a reset button, it's just that it's so blatantly a reset button and it doesn't even try to disguise that fact. But you know, I think this is one of those series where you definitely need to come back at issue two and reevaluate it then, because now that we've got the setup done, this whatever this setup is, now the story can begin. Yeah. So we'll see what Nick Spencer has in mind from issue two on. And that's both good and bad. So
yeah, it's just, there's definitely, I mean, I think all these like reboots, I think they went a bit too heavy with trying to do too many at once. I would have been nice to have spread them out. I got completely over, it's like number one of this, number one of that. And that's like, I can't read all of these at once. You're doing too many. One a week would be the maximum really for most people, I would imagine.
I think for most people, one a week is even too much, just because that's a lot of books. And I mean, even this coming weekend, or this coming week, we'll have a new Captain Marvel number one coming out. The Life of Captain Marvel, with that rebooted. A couple weeks ago, we had a new Iron Man number one, Captain America number one, Avengers number one. The X-Men books are going to be, I think Gold and Blue are going to be canceled, and we're going to have X-Men and Uncanny X-Men like we had in the 90s. We're going to have Unbeatable Wasp is coming back. Spider-Gwen is becoming Ghost Spider number one. And it's definitely, you're kind of like, there's just a little bit too much coming out right now.
Mm. Especially, I mean, there's always that thing as well, I think, of trying to get people to pick something new up. I've always been drawn, and this is way, I've always been drawn to one-shots, mini-series, because they're always much better to be this kind of long-running series. And once you're in the cycle, it's fine. But then once you're in the cycle, are you picking them up because of habit? Are you picking them up because of that rotation? Oh, I pick this one up and I pick this one up. Whereas I always tend to like floating. I've been like that probably since I was a teenager.
And then, well, it's not even just that. For you and I as reviewers, it's much easier to have number ones, because you know, we can sit down and go, it's a number one issue. We can review it. There's no baggage attached to it, or at least no inherent baggage attached to it. And those are the issues also that people tend to want to look up and find out more about. You don't necessarily, if you're interested in X-Men, you don't care about X-Men Gold number 14. That's just an arbitrary issue. Even if it's the beginning of a story arc. X-Men Gold number one, on the other hand, that might draw more people who are interested in checking it out.
It's definitely there's a lot going on at the minute, and like, it's like with all Marvel, but it's that thing of trying that thing though, isn't it, of getting people to buy new comics on a whim when you're spending a lot of money already on what you already know. That's the difficulty bit of, you know, it's like I buy, you know, if you go in and you've got your £10 or whatever it is for your digital or your week, especially as well, if you're putting them on like pickups at your local comic book store and you're picking them up, to go in and be like, you know, unless you're literally going, right, every week I buy one or two brand new issues and take a punt, it's a lot. If you're already buying three or four comics a week, that's a lot to pick up.
It is. And, you know, Marvel and DC, you tend to use the shotgun method, which is we're going to throw as many books out there, and whatever sticks to the wall, we'll keep publishing, and whichever ones don't, we'll go get reloaded back into the gun and fired at a later point.
Yeah, so. I think for me, because I tend to just, I do digitally, and it's a case of, right, I have a look at the previews list, see which ones I want, and then I just type that into Google and then into Amazon and go from there. So I'm not having this regular kind of subscription system or pull it, because I'm doing it in a different way where I have my own system where I go on. But even that, it's easy to lose one if you're not clicking on something. And the idea of going and having them delivered, it's like, well, they come out on Wednesday, I want to get them Wednesday, and I don't want to have to wait till Friday or something like Thursday to get a physical copy because the comic book store is 20 miles away kind of thing.
Yeah, I do actually live relatively close to a physical store, and it's actually a pretty well-known one. I live close to a store called Mile High Comics, which is actually one of the original internet stores. And if you ever want a reminder of what the internet looked like back in the 90s, milehighcomics.com, because their inventory is so large that it would actually take them far more time to update their page to a current system.
It's than just okay.
it practically is, dude. Look, after we finish recording this, go check it out, milehighcomics.com, no hyphens, all one word, and you'll be transported back to the 90s. But I actually live near one of their satellite stores, so if I really wanted to go physical again, I could. I haven't. I tend to stick to the digital for many of the same reasons you do. It's just far more convenient.
Yeah. It's just one of those kind of things. Oh, yeah, it is a Geocities site that I created back at high school. Or back at college.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, it's got the frames.
Yeah.
I think there's even some animated GIFs in there. It's, you know, it has not changed.
I remember making websites in this back in the 90s myself like this. Yes, does look great. There's just so much out there, but we'd love to know what you guys are reading. Got any suggestions for us as well? Let us know in the comments below. Go check us out over at thiskingdom.com. You can like, subscribe, follow. James, where can they find you?
I'm heroiclegacy.com, and I've got my X23 number one review up there too. So
yes, a little bit more detailed than mine will be. I tend to go with the few paragraphs, get it in, get it out. Whereas yours is like, I read yours, go, takes me long. It's like you know the details.
I try to give some background details in the book.
I kind of go with the comicbook.com and IGN. Like, here's a paragraph. Like, on to the next.
Yeah. That's why I don't write as many.
Yeah. On that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.